Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. Faisal, we have to report the sale of our principal residence now on our taxes.
On all real estate transactions.
Yeah, all real estate, but principal in particular. That freaks some people out.
It's new. It's fairly new.
Right. And so
it's my principal residence. Why should I have to report that?
Right. It's tax-free, right? Well,
Not always. Dun, dun, dun.
Right. So let's talk about that. Jamie Golenbeck is with us, Managing Director, Tax and Estate Planning. Jamie, you did a write-up on a particular case that was in Montreal, but it demonstrates that taxpayers need to be very careful in terms of how they're reporting the principal residence and what could potentially happen that may actually lead to some taxes on that. Why don't you give us just a high-level understanding of what the case was.
Yeah.
The story.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So the case involved a Montreal taxpayer who bought a substantial piece of property. I think he paid about a couple million bucks for it, spent another $1 million on renovations. This was not just an ordinary property. This was a special heritage property built back in 1830. If you know Montreal, it's in the heart of old Montreal, right on the port, beautiful property. And effectively, he divided it up into some condo units. And there's also some commercial space. Anyway, he actually sold one of the units, and he had a capital gain of about $270,000, which he, took the cash and put into his bank account, but he never told his accountant about it, and he actually never declared it on his tax return. Anyway, one thing led to another, and he was audited initially by the Ministry of Revenue of Quebec, and then CRA got wind of it, and ultimately he was caught. And, his argument was, I lived in part of it, and therefore I thought I could designate the whole thing as a principal residence, which, of course, is not true. And effectively what happened is the 16% of it that it was sold off as an individual unit, as a condo, was actually a rental property. And, of course, when you sell rental property, if you have a gain, that gain, of course, is going to be taxable at a 50% inclusion rate. So, a very specific case. But again, it highlights, I think, the broader point for Canadians is that, since 2016, you actually have an obligation to report the sale of everything, including your principal residence, even if the entire gain is tax-free. So most Canadian couples can have one property and they can sell it tax-free and there's no problem. You still have to report it, and you have to report the proceeds, the cost, the year, and stuff like that. So I think it's a cautionary tale. In fact, they caught on to this prior to that reporting because of, some other issues on the tax returns that were caught. But now it's even easier for the CRA to go back. We're into year five of reporting this stuff. So even if you've sold what you thought was a tax-free gain, be careful, especially if you own that piece of property in Canmore or somewhere else where, you could have a vacation property or a cabin or something like that, ski chalet. You got to be very careful. It's only one principal residence per family.
So what qualifies a property to become a principal residence? Because I think that's going to be there's many Canadians who have multiple properties, either a vacation property in Canmore, for example, and they have a home in Calgary. How does it work? What are the criteria to determine a property as a principal residence?
Yeah, there's actually four criteria listed in the Income Tax Act. The first is it has to be a housing unit. That definition is very broad. It certainly includes, things like co-ops. It includes things like a houseboat, anything like that. Number two, you have to own the property. You have to actually own it. Number three, you have to ordinarily inhabit the property. And that could be as little as one day a year, but as long as you ordinarily inhabit it. And you have to actually designate it as a principal residence when you sell it, on the year of sale on your tax return. So you can have more than one property. You can choose whichever one you want to be your principal residence on the date that you sell one of them. But again, it can't be a rental property or commercial rental property. Now, look, CRA has said if you occasionally rent it out, let's say for the odd weekend on Airbnb or something like that, that's not going to be an issue, right? If you get a bit of, rental income, you're just trying to cover some costs, that's not the concern. The concern is if it is a legitimate rental property, you're renting it either commercially or residentially throughout the entire year, it's a source of income, that would not qualify as a principal residence.
So Jamie, there's many retirees who rent out a room or their basement in their own home to supplement their retirement income. Have they lost their principal residence exemption?
No, CRA has been pretty relaxing on those rules. In fact, there's a lot of bulletins. We've actually written one called So You Want to Be a Landlord. And you can just Google that from CIVC. And actually, we go through all those rules. in terms of, you know, the change of use rules, what if it's a partial change of use, things like that. So, yeah, you should be okay in both those cases. There are restrictions there about claiming, you know, depreciation. The rules are complicated. So either speak to a professional or take a look at our bulletin. So you want to be a landlord.
So let's kind of, well, give me one more question. Okay. I have. Many people are going to be selling their home last year, this year, and in future years when they've done selling their home, and the only question they mark off was this your principal residence? They say yes, and it's done. What questions or comments should they be making to their tax professional so that both parties are aware of what could go wrong in cases like the one in Montreal and so forth?
Yeah, I think the most important question is, like, do you or your family members actually live in it? And if you live in it, you're fine. And also, do you own another property anywhere in the world? And that is really the issue. So, you know, get some advice, speak to your accountant, because if you own more than one property in a particular year, or even if you've owned one a few years ago and then sold it, you may not be able to claim the resident exemption for all years of ownership. So you want to be open and upfront with your accountant so you don't get caught later on by the CRA for a false claim, just like this person here who got hit, not just with a tax, by the way, who got hit with a gross negligence penalty equal to 50% of the tax that he tried to avoid. So in this case, you know, that's like $40,000 penalty on top of the tax. So you're warned.
Yeah.
Jamie, let's shift gears real quickly. We had some changes announced. The CERB was extended. There's been some changes to EI as the government is trying to roll people off the CERB onto some more traditional programs and so on and so forth. Why don't you bring us up to speed on what the announcements were and what people should be aware of?
Yeah, so look, very, very simply, on a very high level, CERB is ending, you know, in September. You're going to get an extra 4 weeks. You've been claiming the CERB. After that, you go back to EI. So most people who are employees, if they were laid off their job, they lost their job, they qualify for EI, are back on EI. They've actually reduced the qualification rules. So that I think if you've only worked even 120 hours, I think you're going to qualify. You're going to get a minimum of $400 a week for up to 26 weeks. So much more generous qualification rules, you know, for the EI program. And, you know, it's a minimum 26 weeks, $400 a week. Now, what they've also done is introduced a few new benefits. The first is the Canada Recovery Benefit, which basically is an EI for those who are self-employed. So most people are self-employed, do not voluntarily pay into the EI because you don't have to. And let's say you lose your job or you have less income, you can now apply for the Canada Recovery Benefit. That's $400 a week for up to 26 weeks. You've got to continuously be looking or trying to work. Then they have the Canada Recovery Sickness Benefit. That's $500 a week for up to 2 weeks. That's really for people who are either employees or self-employed that are required to self-isolate. Because they or someone in their family is sick with COVID-19. And basically, it's a paid sick leave for people that don't have a paid sick leave. Primarily, I'm thinking of the self-employed or some companies that don't have a generous sick leave policy. And then finally, the Canada Recovery Caregiving Benefit. So let's say you've got kids and the kids are under the age of 12. They can't go to school because the school is closed. There's been an outbreak of COVID or daycare is not open. Or maybe you've got a family member that's in a home, the home is shut down, things like that. It's unsafe to send them to school. You get $500 a week if you have to stay home to take care of these individuals, up to 26 weeks. It's not voluntary. So in other words, if you just feel that it's better off for your kid not to be in school because you're nervous, it doesn't qualify. So there are exceptions, of course, if you've got a child that's immunocompromised, disability, you know, things like that. But these new benefits, the Canada Recovery Benefit, the Recovery Sickness Benefit, Canada Recovery Caregiving Benefit, combine that with the easier EI, should help bridge the gap between the CERB in the months ahead.
What if you're working with a business partner and you don't want to and you want to self-isolate from that person? Let's name him Dave Popowich. Any benefits from the government?
If you got COVID, you can do it.
Darn it. Looking to get away from you, my friend.
I can see that. That's twice in this show you've tried. Jeez. All right. On that note, Jamie, thanks very much. We always appreciate your insights and keeping us and our listeners informed of what's going on.
All right. Stay safe, guys.
All right. You too, Jamie. Jamie Golenbeck, Managing Director, Tax and Estate Planning, one of our guys here at CIBC. A good update there. We've got to figure all this out. Life goes on. No matter what happens, life goes on. Lifestyles have to be supported. Families have to be supported. We're going to talk about how to do all of that, how to live through this.
How do you live through this? How do you manage a portfolio properly with proper structure and discipline? And how do you have to look at using experts as you transition to and live in retirement? We're going to cover all this on Tuesday, August 25th. Sorry, that's August 25th, 7 p.m., live online. You need to register. Go to morethanmoneyradio.com. That's morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
If your lifestyle is going to take you out of Canada, move out of Canada, you better understand the tax impact. Stick around for that on the next segment. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.